we've got random Christmas apples and berries hanging from our TV and lights and all. It's just fun. Christmas is fun. How many of you love Christmas? Christmas is fun. Woo! Yeah. What else is fun? How many of you caught Star Wars this week? How many of you would kill me if I spoiled the movie like right now? And Sabina, I was talking to a couple of them right before the service. I think it was like Honey and David or something. I was saying like I was gonna use part of the movie in the middle of my sermon as an illustration, but it was a pretty key like plot point and we're pretty much ruined the movie for most of the people. But I was telling David like bro, if you haven't watched the movie by now, like you're not really a serious fan, so I don't think it should bother you if I spoiled it. You are? For real? You're a serious fan? Can I quiz you? Alright, come on. But today, come on, today we're going to get into something much more exciting. As much as I was excited for Star Wars this week, I'm super excited about the Word of God. I'm super excited to preach to you guys this week. So how many of you are ready for the Word of God this Saturday? Well, I've realized somehow, I don't know how it's worked out this way, but I realized that I've never actually preached at Jackson Square before. Like, you guys have been here for, I don't know, 3 months? Yeah, 3 months. You guys moved here on my wedding day, I remember that. And so, you guys have been here for 3 months, but I've never actually preached at Jackson Square before. So we're going to have some fun today. Cool. Why don't you guys grab your Bibles out? We're going to read a bit from the Bible, and then we're going to get started, all right? Grab your Bibles out, go to the book of Joshua. Grab your Bibles out, go to the book of Joshua. If you're there and sitting next to a Joshua, smack him. There's a few here, I just don't know where all of you are. All right, Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read a bunch of verses out of chapter 6, and then we're going to read chapter 7 just a bit from there. All right, Joshua chapter 6, verse 2 to 21. Here it goes, it says, where's verse 2? There. It says, "But the Lord said to Joshua, 'I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. Now you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. And on the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. And when you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town.' And so Joshua called together the priests and said, 'Take up the ark and assign 7 priests to walk in front of each carrying a ram's horn.' And he gave the orders to the people, 'March around the town. The armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord.' And after Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched." This is a pretty noisy march. "And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Now some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, some behind the ark, and the priests continually blowing the horns. 'Do not shout, do not even talk,' Joshua commanded. 'Not a single word from any one of you until I tell you to shout, then shout.' So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and everyone returned to spend the night camp. Now Joshua got up early the second morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests and the ram's horns marched around in front of the ark of the Lord again, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched in front." So picture this with me, okay? They're marching around and around the city. This is the second time they're doing it. And then they come back, and they followed this pattern for 6 days. Now it says here, on the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn, marched around the town just as they had done before, but this time they went around the town 7 times. And the 7th time around, as the priest sounded a long blast on the horn, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout! For I have given you the town Jericho, and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord." Right, and it goes on to list a whole bunch of instructions that Joshua gives to them, and it says here, "When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. And suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it." Right, now jump with me. This is the first battle we're going to read about. Jump with me down to chapter 7. Okay, we're going to read about another battle that takes place in just right after this. Okay, second battle that takes place. So Joshua chapter 7, we're going to read verse 1 to 5. It says, "But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah. And Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Haven. And when they returned, they told Joshua, there's no need for all of us to go out there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai, since there's so few of them. Don't make all of our people struggle to go up there. And so approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men from Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries. They killed about 36 of them who were retreating down the slopes, and the Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Now, this is the story of two battles, okay, of two battles that happened in really close proximity and really close timing to one another. The first battle is the Battle of Jericho, where the Israelites completely just own this city. They march around it 7 times in one day, and they shout, and the walls just crumble down, and then they take over the city, and they win it. They win the battle. It's just like that. They win it. Then the second battle is the Battle of Ai. Everybody say Ai. Sounds nice, Ai. Second battle is the Battle of Ai, where it's a smaller city, it's a smaller town, but what happens, the Israelites go, and they get their butts beaten, they get owned, and they retreat, and they run away. And today, I'm gonna preach to you just for a while about on the topic called the next battle. Everybody say the next battle. All right, come on, let me pray, and we'll jump into this. God, we thank you for your word. We pray today you would speak to us. God, cause our hearts to be open. God, do something in our lives today. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the next battle. Now, I believe that God wants to give you victory in different areas of your life. Okay? Now, how many of you have experienced winning something before? Give me a wave if you won anything before. Now, whether it's a fight with your sibling that you won and you triumphantly, you know, smash your brother onto the ground, you're like, yeah! That's what my brother used to. No, it's not true. You know, maybe it's like a game of Monopoly or a game of Risk with your cousins that goes like overnight. When you finally win, you're like, come on, I'm the boss, I win. You know, maybe for some of you, the most recent victory you experienced was conquering your O-levels or your A-levels. Right? You're like, who just finished your O's or your A's? Let me hear your shout of victory and joy. Yep, some very happy people there. My part of you, the moment you finish that last paper, like you just want to run out of the hall, go home, grab all your notes and burn them in a pile and sacrifice a burnt offering to the Lord and thank Him for the victory that He's given you for your O's or your A's. Some of you, you've experienced conquering, you've experienced victory before. You walk out from the exam hall, you go like, man, I nailed it. I nailed that paper. Until someone starts comparing answers with you and you just get all depressed. You know, there's victories that we experience. And even on the spiritual side of things, there's some victories that we experience. Sometimes, you know, God gives us victory over sin. Sometimes He helps us experience victory. Maybe you were sick and He healed you. You know, that's a victory over sickness. Sometimes it's a victory over, you know, an obstacle or difficult situation. Maybe you were trying to, you know, start a connect group or something and it was so hard and for so many months, you know, no one got saved. But boom, suddenly there's breakthrough and you've got your connect group. That's victory. You experience victory. And major victories are awesome. Everybody loves to win. Everyone loves the victory. Everyone loves to celebrate a victory. How many of you would say that you had an encounter with God at conference? You did? Now, I believe that there's so many of you here today that at conference, God gave you a big victory. God gave you a vision. God gave you a dream. God did something big in your life, and you count that as a great encounter, as a big victory. But the question is, you know, what do you do with that victory? What do you do when something awesome or something great happens to you? Last week, James talked about the fact that, hey, when God gives you a dream and He's going to put His favor on you, you can walk in that favor, you can experience that favor, you can experience victory. But what happens after one massive encounter with God? You know, some of you, last week, you were at the encounter, and you had an encounter with God. God set you free, you had victory. But what happens after a victory? You see, God's not into just giving you a one-off victory and you just feel really great for that one day or that one time and then the next day you're right back to where you started from. That's not the way that God meant it to be. But He is designed, He is meant for you and me to be walking in a consistent place of victory. that each day, that every day you would walk in a place of victory. He wants, it says in the Bible, he leads us in a triumphant procession. He wants to lead you in constant victory. You're called to live daily in victory. You're not called to be a warrior who just experiences one fight, who wins that one fight. And for the rest of your life, 20 years later, 30 years later, all you talk about is still the encounter you had with God at Edge Conference 2015. Well, it's not the way God has designed us to be. But he wants to have you walk in consistent and constant victory, to experience breakthrough on a daily basis, that each day, that each week, that each month, that each year, you would have a new testimony of victory to talk about, that you would have a new story of a breakthrough that God has done in your life. See, but the thing is, in order to have a breakthrough, in order to have a victory, you've got to fight a battle. Right? You don't win anything without a fight. You know, if you're playing Monopoly with yourself and you win, it doesn't feel good at all. Why? Because you're not playing, you're not fighting with anybody. There's no battle. And so when you win something with no battle, there's nothing to it. And the way that God has designed us to be, the way your relationship with God is meant to be, is that you're not meant to go to a victory, to experience a breakthrough, and you experience this high for just a while. And the next day, you know, when reality strikes, you're back to normal again. But what's supposed to happen at a thing like conference, or sometimes even at the Edge, where you come and God does something in your life and he gives you a breakthrough and he gives you a victory, he calls you up. Maybe you were here, but God brings you up to this level at conference, at the Edge, in your connect group. That's great. We're not meant to go back down to normal again on Monday, but we're called to keep living at this level. That the victory you experience today shouldn't be the peak of your year, shouldn't be the peak of the rest of your Christian life. The victory you experience today should become the platform, should become the very basis for the breakthrough you experience tomorrow. The biggest thing that God has done in your life today should become the smallest thing that he does in your life tomorrow, because he's going to do something bigger, he's going to do something greater. See, I believe that God wants to launch you into your next battle and give you a bigger victory. The verse we talked about just now, it says, 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 84 verse 7 says, they will go from strength to strength, to each appears before the Lord. Strength to strength, that's, we're going from strength to strength. You're growing from level to level. You're moving from victory to victory. And as I begin to read this story about Israel and the two battles, one of Jericho and one of Ai, you begin to realize that what would cause Israel to have such a resounding victory at Jericho, which if you study a bit, was one of the most advanced cities for their time. They had the highest walls, they had the thickest walls, they had the strongest gates. What would cause Israel to have such a resounding victory against such a strong enemy and such a strong fortress, and yet a few verses later, against a smaller enemy? Ai was a village, town type of place. It was not a city the way Jericho was. It had a lot less people, a lot less warriors. But what would cause Israel to have a massive victory against Jericho, which was a large enemy, but then a few verses later get completely owned by a smaller enemy, which is Ai? And they didn't just lose, but you actually see that in verse 5, it says that the Israelites were paralyzed with fear and their courage melted away. You see, sometimes we experience a great breakthrough, we experience a great victory, everybody's happy about it. And we go to conference or we're at the Edge and God does something massive in our hearts and we're excited, we're great. And then maybe you go to school, you're back to school on Monday and something happens. Or maybe you mess up. Maybe you thought, you know, God had set you free from something, a sin or something, and then on Monday you gave in to temptation and you messed up again. You see, what happened to the Israelites happens to us sometimes too. When we experience this major victory, we experience this breakthrough, we have all the faith in the world, and then a few days later we mess up and we find ourselves where the Israelites were. They were paralyzed in fear, all their courage melted, and we were back in the place where we started, where we go, God, there's no way I can defeat this. There's no way I can win this. God, I'm not even going to try and fight, because what's the point? I thought you gave me the victory, but I'm defeated again. See, but how do we make sure that we don't find ourselves in the same place as the Israelites did? How do we make sure that we win a battle, we win a fight, and we go to the next level, and we win the next battle, we win the next fight, and God launches us into another battle again, and we win the next fight, and we win the next breakthrough? How do we ensure that we keep receiving breakthrough after breakthrough? How do we ensure that we keep receiving victory after victory, which is what I believe God has for you and me? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Real quick, three things about the battle. Well, everybody say three. Okay, now here's the first thing I'm going to give you guys. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 3, it says here, what Joshua did was he sent some spies to check out Ai, and then the spies came back, and this is what they said. They said, now there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 200 or 300 men to attack Ai, since there are so few of them. You know, don't make everybody go up there. Now, I believe what happened, and the first thing you got to understand is complacency after the battle leaves you open to defeat. Right? Complacency after the battle leaves you open to defeat. See, what happened here was the Israelites fought hard, the Israelites obeyed God, and they did everything that they were told to win a victory against Jericho. And so they're all happy, they're great, man, we completely beat Jericho. And then they got comfortable with the state of their victory. They got comfortable with the fact that, hey, you know what? We're strong enough. We're powerful enough to defeat an enemy as strong as Jericho. When they fought Jericho, they followed every single one of God's instructions, right? God said, walk around the thing with the ram's horn and the ark and all that. And they did every one of those things. You know, Joshua told them, God says, don't make a sound. Don't even talk until you're done walking. And they did that. And then God said, when the ram's horn is blown, everybody shout. And they did exactly it. They followed all of God's instructions to the letter. You know, they did everything they were told to do. All the fighting men, all the warriors went out together against Jericho, and they received a victory. But you begin to see that right after this victory against Jericho, as they begin to go out against Ai, they began to get comfortable. They begin to go like, man, if we beat Jericho and they were a big city, then I guess when we fight against Ai, we can even afford to dial back the fighting a bit. We don't have to fight as hard. We don't have to try as hard. It says only 3,000 warriors went, since there's so few of them. They were saying, man, since the enemy is so small, why do we have to send everyone? Let's just send a small group. In fact, one other interesting thing you see is that before they fought Jericho, God was the one who spoke to Joshua to say, this is what I want you to do, this is what I want you to do, this is what I want you to do, do that. Joshua spent time to seek the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do to win this battle? But against Ai, you don't see any mention of what God told them to do. You don't see any mention of what Joshua asked God. In fact, Joshua didn't seek God before the battle of Ai, but he did before Jericho. See, they had gotten so comfortable with their victory, they had gotten so comfortable with their win, that they didn't even bother to seek God about what to do next. See, you and I, we're most vulnerable from an attack from the enemy right after a big victory. When's the time that the devil's going to try and tempt you? When's he going to try and sow doubt in your mind? Right after you win a big victory. It's right when you feel, man, I won big today. Man, God has given me a big victory. God has done something great in my life. Everything's all good. I don't have to worry. I'm just cruising. And that's when you're all comfortable. Your guard is down. That's when you're most open to an attack from the enemy. Yeah, I'm sure you know. You've watched soccer matches before where one team scores and everybody's celebrating. And then right from the kickoff, what happens? The other team scores almost right away. Why? Because you get complacent. When we score the goal, we're all comfortable. This is all good. We're going to win. You relax for a moment and bam, the other team scores again and you're back right where you started. Some of us, you know, we study really hard for like your mid-years and you do really well for your mid-years. Like, man, I nailed this straight A's. Like, come on. And then you decide to take a break and like, man, if I did well this exam, next exam, I have no problem. I know, don't need to study. And you flung like the next thing. Get straight F's or something. You know what happens? Complacency kills you. You know, sometimes, for those people who are trying to, you know, keep fit and eat healthy, you, like, do really well for a week. Like, man, no sugar drinks, no carbs, all salads and nuts and all healthy stuff. You wake up every morning at 6 and you exercise for one whole week. And you get to Sunday and you're like, man, I've done so well this week. What a victory. Let me just take a break. I'll just do one sweet drink today and I'll start exercising tomorrow. And like you get a Monday and like, man, last week was really great. Now I lost like 3 kg last week, so I can afford to, you know. And before you know it, you've put on like another 10 kg and you're like you're fat, and 1 month later you haven't gotten back to exercising. Complacency can kill you. See, how many, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer this out loud, but how many of you actually did your full, regular, quiet time on Sunday morning right after conference? So conference on Saturday night, you had a massive encounter with God. God gave you super huge breakthroughs. How many of you actually woke up early on Sunday morning and did your regular quiet time just like you would have done every single day? You see, sometimes we can find ourselves in a place where we're so, God does something so big in our lives, we get so excited for what He's done, but we neglect the things that we do regularly. See, some of the hardest times to do devotion is in the morning at camp, at youth camp. You guys know what I'm talking about. When you're in a room with 4 or 5 other people, now normally you would have no problem waking up to do your devotion. I'm just speaking that in faith over you. But suddenly when we get youth camp, we're having encounters with God, God's doing stuff in our lives, we're hearing so much of the Bible, God's moving in our hearts, and then it's suddenly difficult to wake up and do our quiet time in the morning at camp. Why? Because it's easy to be complacent when God's doing something big in your life. It's easy to get comfortable when something massive is happening, when you're experiencing a big breakthrough. See, you and I, we need to learn how to remain prepared, how to be alert, how to be extra on guard than we were before the victory. See, whatever you were doing before, make sure you keep doing it because you don't want to let your guard down. You don't want to ever get complacent. You don't want to ever get comfortable. Your complacency can cost you a victory, just like it did the Israelites. Come on, just poke the person next to you and say, don't be complacent. Right, the second thing I believe that the Israelites messed up in is here. In Joshua 6, this is what it says. The Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho and its king and all its strong warriors. And then in verse 16, it says, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Say the Lord. Right, the Lord has given you the town. And compare this in stark contrast, right, to Joshua chapter 7 in verse 3, where it says, there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 200 or 300 men to attack Ai. Since there's so few of them, don't make all your people go all the way up. See, I believe what happened here was that Israel's source of confidence shifted from being in God to being in themselves. Israel's source of confidence shifted from being in God to being in themselves. So second thing is that confidence from the wrong source will rob you of your victory. Confidence from the wrong source will rob you of your victory. You see, what happened is that in the first time they fought, Jericho, they were so sure that the Lord is going to give us the victory. Hey, the Lord is going to give us this town. God is the source of our victory. He's going to fight first. He's going to win. We're going to achieve this victory because of God. But against Ai, it suddenly became, there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than a few thousand men to defeat them. See, instead of being confident in God's ability to give them the victory, instead of being confident in God's ability to help them defeat the enemy, they began to trust in their ability to win the fight. They began to say, we are enough to defeat this enemy. We are enough to win this fight. And that's the second mistake that they made. They chose the wrong source of their confidence. See, to the point where we talked about it just now, they didn't even seek God and ask Him what to do against Ai. They just decided among themselves, we don't need everybody, just send 2 or 3,000. Sometimes you and I find ourselves in the exact same spot. We're at the altar, we're weeping before God, kneeling, God, come, you got to set me free, God, you got to heal me, I believe you can do it. And He sets you free from addiction, He sets you free from sin maybe, or from depression, or from sickness. And then next time, a few weeks later, you're struggling with this temptation again, and you go like, oh man, I can handle this. You know, God, I've been set free before. I've won this battle before. I can handle this. And that's the moment you mess up. That's the moment everything starts going downhill because your confidence just switched from being in God's ability to set you free to your own ability to withstand temptation. See, having your confidence in the wrong source will cause you to rely on the wrong thing. See, I've read articles and stuff about sports people and sports players and stuff who have really weird superstitions before they play a match. And there's some soccer players that they must wear their left boot first before they wear their right boot. It's weird. You know, they must kiss the ball, they must tie this shoelace that way and tie that shoelace another way before they step out to the field because that's what's going to help them perform. But honestly, think with your logical mind. The source of my confidence is in the way I lace up my boots. For real? Come on. The source of a player's ability to do it has nothing to do with the way they lace their boots. It's everything to do with their training, their practice, their health, the shape that they're in. But you see, when I begin to rely on the way that I lace my boots to win a match, come on, for real? It's the wrong source of my confidence. It's the wrong source of what I'm relying on. And it's the same thing for you and I, that we can find ourselves in a place where we begin to rely upon the wrong things for the victory, where the original salt of the victory was never you, it was always God. It applies in simple things in our life. You know, in our exams or something, it's the same thing. You know, here's a thought that's related to that. It says, your confidence cannot come from the victory, but must remain in the source of the victory. Let me explain that a bit. Now, when Israel won and they beat Jericho, right, they became super confident. They were strong. Everyone around them feared them because they had just won this massive victory, and they were confident because they had won. And sometimes you and I are in the same place. We do well for an exam, and we're confident because we just did well. We're confident because our results are good. We're confident because we just saw someone give their heart to Jesus. We're confident because God just set us free and we had an encounter with Him. But what happens the next moment is the moment Israel lost, they lost their confidence as well. Why is that? Because their confidence was based in the victory and not in the source of their victory. You see, if my confidence is based in the victory, I do really well for this exam, I'm going to feel great. I'm going to feel like I killed it. I'm going to feel like the next one is no problem. And I'm just going to feel like, man, I'll do well in the next one because I did well in this one. But you know it's not true. You know that what you need to study, you need to practice, you need to do your work. And so what happens when we begin to find the source of our confidence in the wrong thing, we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves, you know, against Jericho, it's interesting. It even goes on to say that against Jericho, in verse 8, it says they started marching in the presence of the Lord. That the source of their victory was that because they were with God, they were in the presence of God. But against Ai, there was no mention of them bringing the ark. There was no mention of them calling down the presence of God. They were confident they were going to win because they had won before. You and I know that that's not the source of their victory. That's not the source of their confidence. Come on, God is your source of victory. Come on, God is the source of your confidence. God's not going to set you... No, you're not going to experience freedom today because you experienced freedom last week. You're going to experience freedom today because God wants to set you free. Come on, you're not going to experience breakthrough in your net today because you experienced breakthrough in your connect group last week. You're going to experience breakthrough in your connect group this week because God is the source of your breakthrough. Come on, you're not going to be healed today because you were healed last week. You're going to be healed today because our God is a healer, and His promise is that He wants to heal you. The source of your confidence, the source of your victory is not a past victory, it's in God. When it's in the promises of God, it's in His word. You got to know that. That when you go into the next fight, that when you go into the next battle, that when you face the next struggle, the outcome isn't based on your last fight. It's based in a God who never fails. It's based in an all-powerful God who wants to give you victory. But one last thing before we pray tonight. In Joshua 6, verse 14, it says this, that right before that, they began to describe that the Israelites began to march around the city and do all these things. And in verse 14, it says, they followed this pattern for 6 days. Right? They were really, really careful to follow every single instruction that God had given them before the battle of Jericho, down to the letter. Down to the point where it said that no one should talk when they march. Now, I'm in the army. I know how difficult it is to be quiet when you're marching because you're just tired, you're grumpy, you're sweaty, you need to complain, you want to say something. It's really difficult. But they did it. They followed every instruction down to the letter. And they experienced victory. But check this out. In Joshua 7, verse 1, it says, but. All right? Every time there's a but, every time a chapter in the Bible starts with a but, you know, like something's going on. It says, but Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things. See, Israel kept all the instructions before the first fight. But before the second fight, well, there was something that they missed. They were careless with one of the instructions that God had given them. And God had told them all the silver, all the gold, all these things must be given to the temple. But one guy out of a nation of a million or more decided to keep some stuff for himself. And I want you to catch this from this mess up that they made, that carelessness about the small things can cause you the big fight. When your carelessness about the small things, the things that no one knows about, the things that no one can point out in your life, the things that you don't think are a big deal, the carelessness in the small things can cost you the big fight. See, it wasn't a huge deal in the big picture that one guy out of a nation of millions kept a few silver coins and a gold idol and just a couple of things. It's not in the big picture of things. Technically, you would think it's just God, it's just one idol and some coins, like, never mind lah, right? But in the end, you realize that this was what cost the nation of Israel the battle against Ai. That the next day, Joshua had to call the whole nation out and they had to find the one clown who kept the stuff that he wasn't supposed to keep. See, Israel's carelessness at following up on a small, single, simple instruction cost them the victory against Ai. And for you and me, you know, it's the same. That there are small things in our lives. There are things that no one knows about. There are things that you may feel aren't a big deal that can cost you your next fight. They can cost you the next battle that you're about to face. A big victory doesn't negate the need to look after the small things as well. You see, maybe there's something that God's pointing out in your life. Maybe there are things in your life that you know God wants to work on. You know, maybe there are areas in your life that you know aren't right or aren't perfect. And don't mistake encounters with God. Don't mistake victories. Don't mistake breakthroughs for the fact that everything is okay. See, just because I experienced a victory, just because I experienced a breakthrough, just because I experienced this massive thing with God, doesn't mean that these small things don't need to be taken care of anymore. Just because God's using me to preach an awesome sermon, just because God's using me to pray for young people or see my connect group be planted or all these things, doesn't mean that there aren't any things in my life that need to be taken care of. And for you and I, come on, don't be careless about the small things in your life. But don't be careless about the little things that God is putting His finger on and saying, hey, I want you to look out for that. Hey, I want you to fix that. Hey, I want you to change that. Don't miss out on these small things and think everything is okay just because God keeps using me. Just because God keeps using me, you know, that hidden sin, I guess it's okay because my connect group is still growing. Don't think for a moment that, hey, that relationship that I know isn't right, well, I guess it must be okay because, you know, when I pray for people, God still moves. When I teach, my lesson is still effective. Don't mistake breakthrough. Don't mistake victory for the fact that everything's okay in your life. See, carelessness about these small things can cost you your next big fight. Carelessness about the little things in your life can cost you so much more than you could ever imagine. See, these small things mean different areas in our life for you and for me. You know, for some of us, a small thing, this small thing that we refer to can be a small thing in your purity or a small thing in your thoughts. And no one else knows what you're thinking. No one else knows the temptation you deal with, but you do. And just because God gives you a big victory doesn't mean we don't deal with that. We've got to deal with that. We've got to give these small things to God. We've got to follow the instructions that God has given us. It cost Israel so dearly when they didn't follow the instructions that God has given us. Don't make the same mistake. For some of us, it's small things like waking up to do your devotions in the morning. And for some of us, it's priorities or decisions that we make when no one else is around. You know, like we said just now, for some of us, it's a wrong relationship or it's a wrong decision or it's a wrong job or it's a wrong internship or it's a wrong course. And these are small things we feel are small things that I can make a decision however I want in this, but I can still experience a victory. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you more than you know. And a lot of times, these small things are things that we convince ourselves are okay. You know, I'm sure Achan, when he took those things, now, for one, I'm sure he knew he wasn't supposed to take them. Because if you read on in the story, he knew he wasn't supposed to take them. But I'm sure when Achan took those things, he would have said to himself, man, it's just a few silver coins. It's just some gold. It's just some cups. Out of the thousands of silver coins, out of the thousands of gold things, out of the thousands of cups that the Israelites captured and gave to God, I'm sure these coins don't really matter that much. I'm sure these cups don't really matter that much. I'm sure this gold isn't that big a deal. I know God said all. I know God said everything was supposed to go to Him. But so small, so insignificant. It must be okay. Nobody's going to know. No one's going to notice. And sometimes you and I find ourselves in exactly the same place where we go, God, there's this thing in my life and I think it's okay. I think this struggle in my purity, I think it's okay. God, as long as you keep using me, as long as you keep moving in my life, God, I guess these small things, they're okay. And for some of us, you and I know that there are things in your life that God's pointing out, that God says, you need to fix that, you need to drop that, you need to give that up, you need to surrender that to me. But you've convinced yourself that it's okay. You've convinced yourself with logic, with arguing with yourself, you've convinced yourself with the opinions of others that it's okay. I'm calling you out today and saying, hey, if you know something's not right in your life, if you know something needs to change, don't put it off a day longer. Don't let small things like this cost you a big fight, cost you a big victory. You know, God wants you to walk in victory. God wants you to walk in continual victory and breakthrough. But you and I, we need to make the decision to say that, God, I'm not going to just live off this one victory for the rest of my life. I'm not going to live off this one breakthrough for my life. God, every day of my life, I want to experience victory. It means that, God, I'm going to learn how not to be complacent. God, I'm going to put my confidence in you and not in my past victories or in what I can do or my own ability. But God, I'm going to take care of the small things in my life as well. I'm not going to let these small things cost me victory. You know, maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've been here lots of times, and you're sitting here, we're talking about God, and we're talking about Him wanting to give you victory, but you're saying, I don't even believe in God. I don't even believe in this Jesus. Well, we're here to tell you that there's a God who loves you so much. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're struggling, you know, whether it's an addiction you're struggling with, or whether it's depression, or whether it's, or even if you're not struggling with anything, God wants to give you victory. God wants to give you breakthrough. God wants to give you a life that's better than anything you could ever possibly have on your own. And the decision you need to make today is simple. You see, God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to come to the earth to die for the mistakes and for the things that you've done wrong. And the Bible teaches that all you've got to do is to believe in Him and turn away from those things, and you can be saved. That's what the Bible says. So you can begin to experience God's love, His forgiveness, His hope, His plan, His purpose for your life, His victory for you. Well, you can experience all of that, but you need to do something really simple, and that's you got to make a decision to say, Jesus, I want to believe in you. God, I want to make a decision to believe in you. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes just so you can have some privacy here today. But if that's you, if you're saying, I don't believe in God, I've never given my heart to Jesus before, but I want to experience everything that God has for me. I want to experience the victory. I want to experience the breakthrough. I want to experience His love. I want to experience His plan, His forgiveness. What I'm going to do is, in just a few moments, I'm going to count to three. And at the count of three, all you've got to do, if you're saying, hey, that's me, I want to believe in God, you just got to slip your hand up into the air and wave it and put it down again. It's real simple. That's all you got to do, just to say, hey, that's me, I want to believe in God. And you can put it down again. Right, everyone in this place, we just close your eyes real quick. Well, if that's you, if you've never given your heart to Jesus before, if you don't believe in God, but you're saying that, God, today I want to make a decision to believe in you, at the count of three, you put your hand up and slip it back down again. Well, one. Well, don't let anything hold you back today. Well, don't let anything stop you from this. Well, two. With no hesitation, with no holding back. Well, if you want to believe in Jesus today, you know what to do. Three. Well, if that's you, just quickly slip your hand up, put it up in the air and say, hey, that's me. You can put it down again. And we're going to pray.
Mom, real quick, if that's you, just quickly slip your hand up in the air. You can put it down again. And say, hey, that's me. I want to believe in Jesus today. Mom, we'll wait a few more moments. We don't want to miss you out. If that's you, just quickly slip your hand up. You can slip it back down. We're going to pray together. And you're going to experience God in this place for the first time today. While we wait just a few more seconds, 5 more seconds, if that's you, just quickly slip your hand up. Don't miss out on this today. Now slip your hand up, put it down again. We're going to pray. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All right, thank you. I see your hand. Was there anyone else? Real quick, don't miss out on this. All right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone to stand in this place today. Come on. Everyone up on your feet. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do one last thing for me. I'm going to come off the stage. Right? I want to pray with you this evening. Right? So if you've raised your hand, I want you to do one last thing for me real quick. And it's that if you would come down and meet me right here with the person who brought you today. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but maybe you knew you should have. Come on, just quickly come down with the person who brought you. I want to meet you down here in the front. I want to pray with you. Come on, just real quick, if you raise your hand, or even if you didn't, but you knew you should have, you can just run down. Come on, I want to meet you. I want to pray with you today. Hey. Come on, someone coming right there. Come on, give her a hand. Hey. Come on, if there's anyone else, come on, real quick, we want to pray with you. Come on, is there any, okay, I want you to do this real quick. Come on, turn to the person next to you. Say, hey, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Well, if they say, I want to go, make sure you come with them. Don't just lie. All right. Well, let's just pray together today, right? Just say, dear God, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin. Lord, I pray you forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. You wipe my past away. Make me a new person. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died for me. You rose again. And right now, you're living in my heart. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for letting me live in victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, why don't you guys give her a hand. Hey. So what's going to happen is you're going to follow Faith and Cheryl. They'll take you outside where it's a bit quieter and explain a bit more to you, all right? Come on, why don't you guys give her another hand. That's awesome. Well, for the rest of us tonight, well, real quick, I just wanna ask you to respond tonight, real quick. You know, many of us, we've experienced breakthrough, we've experienced victory. God has done awesome things in your life. But I'm gonna ask you tonight, if you're saying, I wanna walk in constant victory, I wanna walk in consistent breakthrough, and I don't want just one encounter to define my life, I don't want just one victory to define my life, but I wanna walk and constant breakthrough and victory. As we begin to worship tonight, I'm just going to ask you to quickly run out from your seats and come down to the front as a way of responding and say, God, that's me. When I believe God's going to do something in your life tonight. Come on, just begin to worship today.
Nothing between us. Back to your heart, to the start of it all, where we found you.
I want to be saying, God, I want to walk in constant victory. I want to walk in constant breakthrough. Into when you respond. The fire. I think set apart.
Set apart for the God above. Set apart for the one we love. Set apart for your glory. We are yours. Everything for you.
God in this place today. While you begin to just say to Him, God, I want to walk in constant breakthrough. While you begin to say to Him, God, I want to walk in constant victory. While you make a decision today, God, I don't want to be complacent with where I'm at. God, I don't want to get comfortable with the things You've done in my past. But God, I want to experience new breakthrough. God, I want to experience new victory. Come on, you make that prayer on your own today. While you speak and say, God, give me a new level of breakthrough. God, give me a new level of victory. Well, just a few moments, we're gonna worship again, but I just feel that there's some of us tonight, you know, we talked about the small things that are in our life. And I believe some of you tonight, you're standing here in the front, and you're saying, God, I want to experience victory. I want to experience breakthrough. But there's small things in your life, there's small things in your heart that God is putting His finger on. And He's saying, hey, there's this attitude. Hey, there's this relationship that you have. Hey, there's this thought pattern that you have. Hey, there's this addiction, there's this temptation. And God wants to deal with these things tonight. But don't walk away from this altar, don't walk away from this place without dealing with the small things in your life. Don't let these small things cost you another breakthrough or another victory. And so for the next few moments, I'm just going to ask the band to be quiet for a moment. I'm just going to ask you guys to just set your attention and set your focus on God today. Well, you need to come before Him and you need to begin to deal with these things. Well, whether it's an attitude, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a feeling, whether it's an addiction, whatever it is today, well, just come before God and surrender it to Him today. Well, come to a place of complete and total surrender. He's asking for all of your heart today. He's asking for every part of you. You want to experience that breakthrough. You want to experience that victory. Don't let the small things hold you back. Right now, you just begin to bring these things before God. Well, if there's something you need to repent from, you just begin to repent. Well, make this a moment between you and God today. Well, just begin to pray a prayer of surrender. Speaking of surrender. Speaking of let God deal with the things in your heart today. Well, don't let these things cost you. Well, I just feel so strong. There's two specific things for some of you that the small thing is actually your future. That you've been unable to trust God with your future. You've been unable to trust Him with the decisions that He's wanting you to make. Whether it's the decision to choose a course or to go on exchange or do an internship, whatever that decision regarding your future is. But don't let your worry about your future cost you your victory. Or surrender today. When His plan is better than anything you could possibly have. The other group of you, the thing that you're holding on to is a relationship. You know, whether it's a friendship that you know is influencing you in a wrong way, or whether it's a kind of romantic relationship with someone today, when God's putting His finger on that relationship and saying, hey, well, you got to stop letting them speak into your life. You need to break that off. Or you need to stop giving your heart to this person. If you want to experience breakthrough, you want to experience victory, you got to surrender. Well, just surrender today. Come on, don't let these things hold you back. Don't let your worry of the future hold you back. Don't let your desire to hang on to a friendship or a relationship hold you back. Surrender to Him today. Well, come to a place of surrender. Oh, we surrender unto You, Lord. We surrender unto You. Every part of our hearts, we give to You. We give to You. We surrender unto You. Come on, make this a place to surrender today. We surrender.
We surrender every thought, every dream, every cry, every desire, Lord. Oh, we surrender unto you. Set apart, Lord, for you. Set ourselves apart for you, God. Oh, we surrender, take all of our heart, take all of our heart, Lord, we surrender unto you. Oh, we're laying down, we surrender unto you, we surrender.
Of his greatness, that he can bring you breakthrough, that he can bring you victory. Come on, you sing it out. You sing it out. Praise for the breakthrough that's coming.
Come on, you give him praise.
The person on the back, next to you on the back, and say, see you next week at Christmas. And-